From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Normalizing relations is something that I would expect to do, I would hope to do when everything's complete. We would certainly hope to do that. All I can say is I am totally prepared to walk away. I did it once before. You have to be able to walk away.
You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this program, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be with you. Well, the countdown is on for the summit between North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump. The two are scheduled to meet in Singapore on June 12th. And for our military and families, during a ceremony yesterday, President Trump signed a VA reform bill, giving them more health care options. Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma will be here shortly to discuss. And a new report by Live Action exposes Planned Parenthood's cover-up of sexual abuse of children. Nearly 60 members of Congress today called on the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to begin and investigate Planned Parenthood after a report released last week that detailed Planned Parenthood's decades-long history of performing abortions on sexual abuse victims as young as 12 and failing to report the abuse to authorities. We'll talk with one of those congressmen who was there, Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and an Indiana teacher is fighting for his right not to call transgender students by their preferred names rather than those given at birth. As you can imagine, the school, Brownsburg High School, and the school district says it's all about the students' rights and discrimination. The discrimination against the rights of the teacher, however, don't matter. We'll talk with the teacher, John Klug. He's an orchestra teacher, and his attorney, Ross Stovall. And of course, all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. Well, yesterday, President Trump signed a sweeping bipartisan bill designed to expand veterans' access to private health care. The bill allows veterans to see private physicians if they do not receive needed treatment from VA medical facilities, as long as it is approved by a health provider. And we're getting closer, as I mentioned, to the greatly anticipated meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Joining us now is Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma, and he serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform and the House Armed Service Committee and a veteran as well. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ. It's good to be back.
Well, I know you have been tracking this VA reform bill. What are your thoughts on that? How might it help?
Well, it's really a good thing. These are reforms that have not only been needed, but that Congress has been working toward for several years now. We all recognize that the VA had to have something in mind to allow veterans to get the health care that they need. And there are kind of three aspects that we see with what the president signed and what we were able to deliver to him. It streamlines the VA's duplicative community care programs into a more cohesive program. A lot of confusion about how to navigate all the different systems, or you might even have something out there where they're not really sure which place is going to give them the care. So now we're seeing it more cohesive. It also does a review of the VA's assets. This is needed. You know, when you've got all of this infrastructure and, you know, we all remember the Phoenix $1.2 billion sinkhole of a hospital that, you know, created so much of the outrage earlier. So we need to really look at the assets and the infrastructure. And then it also expands the VA's post 9/11 caregiver program to all areas, not just, you know, one era. And it extends the Veterans Choice Program. And what that means is that if you are where it's just not practical for you to go to a VA hospital or center, but you can get local care, then this allows a lot more flexibility to be able to do that.
And now you're going to have to find a way to fund it, right? I'm reading some of that today.
Well, there's, you know, we have those funding issues with the VA, whether we would do the reforms or not. And so this is a way that we can get to this. I think that the habit that we have in Congress, you know, being a veteran myself, served a career as an infantry combat soldier. I come to Congress now and, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, anything for the veterans. And sometimes we do stupid things at thinking that we're helping veterans. And in a large measure, we overfund things. We create duplicative systems. We have bloat. We have waste. We don't need to do that. We need to husband the resources to make sure that our veterans get the care that they've earned.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And you know, on a side note, at the age of 58, I got to a little bit to understand what it means to be a veteran. As you well know, I was commissioned first lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard and the public affairs officer here in Mississippi. And I'm starting to understand these issues and see them from the point of view of
our veterans. Yeah, it's a different culture.
Yeah, it really is. And learning all about the chain of command and all of those sorts of things. So thank you for your service. Now on another note, North Korea, where we've been anticipating, I get a big chuckle out of the mainstream media and all these folks trying to anticipate, predict what's the president going to do. He is the master of the deal, and he's going to roll into this and see how it goes, doesn't he?
Well, he absolutely is. And, you know, it's not like he's been secretive. He's put several quite frank statements out there about what's not negotiable. And you know, one of the key things in any negotiation is to try not to negotiate the non-negotiables. So he's clearly laid out what those are: troops on the peninsula, non-negotiable; having a dismantling of an ICBM capacity and plutonium enrichment and, you know, a nuclear capability that could harm our allies, the United States, that's not negotiable. These are the things that the president's been pretty clear on. Now, the other stuff, what could Kim Jong-un hope to get out of this in some positive way? One would be official end of the war and recognition by nations. Right now, they don't do statecraft. They're not given. You know, there's not the embassies and the ambassadors and the normal type of stuff. Do we lose anything by providing that? Well, you know, 1953. Okay, it's probably time for the war to be officially declared as over. Will North Korea be a pariah at times? You know, or a troublemaker or irritant in the art of statecraft, no doubt, but we deal with nations like that routinely anyway. So I think that there is some positives that could come out of engagement with North Korea in that regard. But what's not negotiable is reward for bad behavior. There will be no reward. Secretary of State Pompeo has made this clear. It's no good behavior, good items, verification, then reward. It is an if-then, not reward and then the hopes of good behavior, which is where we've seen failure in the last 2.5 decades.
And, you know, I think one of the learnings that's coming out of here, at least for some and maybe even the younger generations, is that people don't understand that there has not been a formal declaration to the end of the Korean War, which my father-in-law served in. So that'll be an interesting dynamic there. And I wonder how South Korea sees that and North Korea definitely wants it.
Well, they certainly want to see a formalization of it, because in some regard, it will allow the easing of not only posture, but it will allow the easing of standing forces and different things, and it will create an opening up somewhat, which is a good thing. And it potentially could create exchanges and trade and some of the other things, which is certainly what President Moon is hopeful for in South Korea.
Now, of course, the Singapore meeting is only a start. It's the beginning.
Absolutely.
It's a handshake. It's a showing, trying to build trust in a platform, isn't it? And then going
well,
from
it
there.
Is.
Yeah.
It's
ahead.
Historic because this is the first time that you have a president that is going to meet with a North Korean leader. So it is a start. You know, you can't say that, okay, one-time meeting and, you know, all the problems in the last 60 years are henceforth and forevermore solved, or 65, whatever. No, I mean, you start with some basic parameters. You try to find the common ground and the overlap. You negotiate within that. You move to the next level.
Now you're back. Things are back in full swing. Any special projects you're working on or hopeful as we move forward here closer to the midterms?
Well, we're certainly working, a number of issues. A lot of our heavy lifting was done on the defense authorization on the committees that I'm in. But we had an interesting hearing yesterday in Oversight and Government Reform Committee on the implications of President Trump's pullout on the Iran deal. And we had a number of witnesses that testified, in this regard. And, I got to tell you, there was a lot of learning, for any of the public that would have tuned in. To look at this hearing about the aspects of the deal, we saw yesterday as a result of a Senate investigation where the President Obama's administration had authorized a banking license to, in effect, wash money from Omani rials into dollars and then convert to euros to allow the Iranians a little bit of circumvention of sanctions. And that's about four kinds of wrong. It may not have technically been illegal, but it was certainly the wrong effort to go as we were trying to enforce a sanctions regime. And then President Obama's Secretary of Treasury, Jack Lew, saying that they were absolutely not doing things of that nature. And then now it was discovered that, maybe they were.
So that was kind of an aha moment during your hearing yesterday.
Well, it was an aha moment for those in the Senate, and then we were actually having a hearing on the House side, and there was some of this ongoing in both houses of Congress, kind of drilling deeper on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what will you do now with that information as you get that hearing moving forward?
I think the key thing to recognize is that. You had an agreement. Any president has broad foreign policy powers designed by the Constitution, and that is clearly their domain. However, when you take an agreement outside of the will of the people to their duly elected representatives, it is not binding on the American people. We draw our power from the consent of the governed. And here you have a case where you had a deal that largely the American public didn't support. How do we know that? Because of our elected representatives in bipartisan fashion. Nearly every Republican and nearly a couple of dozen Democrats did not support this Iran deal. They felt it made it more dangerous. And so now when we see the unwinding of that deal, America should not be surprised. And the more we discover, like this circumventing of allowing the Iranians to launder money, well, guess what? It just reinforces why America just didn't feel right about this deal.
Well, Congressman Steve Russell, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're doing
my
heavy
pleasure,
lifting
Russ.
There, one of the good guys on the Hill. Thank you so much for being with us on
you
Washington
bet.
Watch. It's Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma. He's one of the good guys. We can always depend on him to bring us what is truly going on. Well, coming up next, pro-life advocates and members of Congress today called out Planned Parenthood's failure to report child sexual abuse. We'll talk with Congressman Steve King of Iowa after the break.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
To Washington Watch, I'm Russ Jones, producer of the program, 40-year media veteran, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's good to be with you here today. Well, a new report by Live Action finds that before Cecile Richards retired as the president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America in 2018, she frequently claimed that her organization, you ready for this, was part of the solution to sexual abuse in America, when in fact it has been an enormous part of the problem. During a press conference this morning, several members of Congress responded to a recent report, to this report, that Planned Parenthood has failed on multiple occasions to report the suspected sexual abuse of minors. The report shows Planned Parenthood's decades-long history of performing abortions on sexual abuse victims as young as 12, failing to report the abuse to authorities, as it is often mandated by law, and sending victims back to their abusers. Well, with us now is one of the champions of the pro-life cause, Congressman Steve King. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Iowa, and I think we're still trying to get a hold of him. I think he just dropped off, but he serves on the committee on the judiciary, among others, and a member of the pro-life caucus, and among some of the members present this morning. Congressman King of Iowa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, good to have you. Well, know you were part of the constituency that was represented this morning supporting this report and calling for an investigation. What are some of the highlights?
Well, at first, Planned Parenthood has, by a fair amount of information, not held up their responsibility as mandatory reporters. And so when they have a girl come in who is a victim of maybe sexual trafficking or a victim of incest or a victim of statutory rape, quite often the advice is, lie about this and we'll abort your baby and everything will be okay. We just can't tolerate that. We don't tolerate it if it's other mandatory reporters, such as teachers, for example, or counselors. And we can't tolerate it when it comes to Planned Parenthood. And so I really applaud the administration for identifying this thing that they can do administratively and by the executive branch decision, and that is to simply eliminate their Title $10, which turns out to be $60 million. And that is the second largest funding stream for Planned Parenthood from our federal government. And I remarked that they do receive over $500 million from the taxpayers. And what we're doing in equivalent is borrowing money from China to send money to Planned Parenthood for them to abort American babies and hide sex crimes. And it's an intolerable situation. If I didn't go into this in the press conference, but I do carry an acorn in my pocket every day to remind me of what Acorn tried to do to our electoral system until Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe showed their videotapes, and we were able to cut off all funding to Acorn because we were horrified at some of the things that went on there. Well, what's going on in Planned Parenthood is far, far worse than what was going on in Acorn, and we should be able to defund Planned Parenthood in its entirety.
Well, wouldn't you think, Congressman, that if enough people know of Planned Parenthood's atrocities, they would support ending the federal funding? I mean, how much proof do we need? In 2015, 474 of the nearly 650 Planned Parenthood facilities received Title X funding. I mean, what's it going to take?
Well, more and more public realization that they should be horrified at what's going on inside Planned Parenthood, the culture that's been developed there. There's been case after case, and there have been a number of lawsuits. We know that Lila Rose has been doing undercover work inside of Planned Parenthood for more than 10 years, and I really admire the work that she's done with Live Action and the messages that come out of there, and her information is reliable, and she has other sources that of people that supplement the work that she has done. But what will it take to get this Planned Parenthood completely defunded? I don't know the answer to that. We just have to keep bringing it out in the public over and over and over again until the knowledge base gets deep enough and broad enough and horrified enough that there can be a clamor before the United States Congress to shut off all federal funding to Planned Parenthood. And we know that they've been trading baby body parts, aborting babies and with specific methodology to preserve their organs so they can be sold to experimental labs. I mean, it's a ghastly thing that they've been doing. And that some of this came up one or two or more years ago and apparently didn't horrify enough members of Congress. Well, it does me. It's ghastly and it's ghoulish and it's got to stop.
Now, the new rules would require all Title X recipients to follow the laws. Imagine that. And document how they handle reporting sex crimes against children. So the law is the law, even if you're Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's right. And you know, we shouldn't have to do that. But Planned Parenthood has been violating it consistently in a number of ways. So I think that, I'm glad we're doing that. I'm glad we're taking that step. And again, we need to be very pleased with the Trump administration that's taken these bold steps. And that's as I watch this, I'm actually looking at Donald Trump on the television screen right now. And as he came into Iowa and for his first political speech in there, which would have been in January of 2015, he was never viewed at that point as an ideological president or a presidential candidate. An astute businessman that had been through the wars and emerged on top and throughout all of that. But what we've seen is a president who embraced the values of first the heart of the heartland, the Midwest, in particular Iowa, went to New Hampshire and held those values together, went to South Carolina and restored and strengthened these conservative values. And when I walk into the Oval Office today, I look around and I think, my gosh, our values of life and the fiscal responsibility and constitutional values and a secure border and the list of the full spectrum of constitutional conservatism has arrived in the Oval Office with the President of the United States. And it's a pretty good feeling to think of all the effort that millions of Americans did. Donald Trump is following through on almost all of his campaign promises. Mm. It's almost all, but it's more than any president that I remember.
And we thank you for what you're doing on the Hill there. And, Congressman, thank you for being with us here today on Washington Watch.
Thanks a lot for having me on. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Congressman Steve King of Iowa. Well, coming up next, a Brownsburg teacher is fighting for his job after he says the district forced him to resign after its transgender student policy. We'll talk with the orchestra teacher, John Klug, and his attorney, Ross Stovall, when we return.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Tuned in to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, producer of the show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You know, this next story really caught my attention. I have played in bands and orchestras my whole life. Started with a cornet. You know what the cornet is? It's a little baby trumpet. Then I progressed to trumpet, and then I got braces, and my band teacher said, Russ, your trumpet playing days aren't too good these days, but I need a tuba player, so the mouthpiece was bigger, so I learned how to play the tuba. And then I played in marching mizzou at the University of Missouri, and my band teachers, music teachers were great people, really cared for me, cared for students, and I know this to be true. Well, John Klug, he's an orchestra teacher at Brownsburg High School in Central Indiana. Well, he's confronting sour notes of his school district's requirement that teachers call transgender students by their preferred names, rather than those given at birth, stating the policy goes against his strongly held religious beliefs. Bravo, John. Well, we've got John and his attorney. We've got John Klug and his attorney, Ross Stovall, who is working through Alliance Defending Freedom to defend his rights. And they both are joining us now. John and Ross, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, hello, Russ.
Good to have you both on the program, and... You know, we had yesterday another school story going on in Delaware, and I was struck by the notion that towards the end of the show, I took a few callers, and one of the callers said, you know, Russ, I wish you wouldn't focus so much on these fringe stories going on in the public schools. And I said, you know, I beg to differ with you. These aren't fringe stories. And sure enough, here's another one, unfortunately and sadly. John, just tell us a little bit. How did we get here?
With my situation in particular or in general?
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How my did we get you? Particular situation, we had started out the school year with my administration and I coming up with a good solution to kind of respect and accommodate my religious beliefs, as well as respect and honor the beliefs of all the students here. I was going to call all my students by last name only, all of them indiscriminately. And therefore, I kind of sidestep this whole controversy altogether. I've been doing that for the past year, and it's been working well.
So if you were in rehearsal or something, it'd be like, hey, Jones, you're a little flat there. You need to tune up.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a coach or like a gym teacher.
you know, or in the military or something like that. But how did the sure. school get there? Apparently, did the school district make some policy changes on this issue?
Yeah, just this past school year, they recently changed their policy so that teachers would be required to address students, transgender students, by their newly assigned name, not their legal name.
So you expressed your concern with that, which is not unusual for a believer. And so the Jones, coming up with the compromise of saying the student's last name came about. And then how long did that last? Did that last for a short time?
It lasted for the entire year. And then in February, my administration approached me and said, we're no longer going to allow that for you next school year. And so if you don't either resign or change your religious beliefs, we're going to terminate you, suspend your pending termination May 1st, a month before the school year ended.
Hmm. And here brings in the need for representation, which I'm so glad you're doing. Ross, let me introduce you. Ross Stovall, attorney there in Indiana and representing John. What happened to John's rights here? We always seem to hear about the rights of the homosexual community and whatnot. What about John's rights here?
What we have here is government action, and this is what really makes this so powerful, I think, Russ, as a case, because John has been willing, really atypically, to come out of the school system and to open to daylight the kinds of actions they're taking and discriminatory actions against people of faith. There's just no other way to describe it. It's a hostility against religion. They had an accommodation, as he said. That was under federal law that they reached that. It was a written accommodation with the administration. That accommodation then wasn't good enough after this year was over, and they just simply gave him a choice to either get on the program or get out. So it's really a speech declaration by a governmental entity. They're forcing speech, so it's really a compelled speech case that we're talking about, which is just abhorrent, I think, to most listeners to think that they could be forced to speak, to think, and speak a given way because their masters dictate this.
Mm-hmm. Now, what have you done? Have you written a letter to the school district? What steps have you taken to express these concerns?
Well, first of all, as soon as ADF learned about this, they got somebody on the ground. They have allies around the country, and I'm one of the allies. We do pro bono work to help with the cause. So as soon as we got involved, we did a lengthy letter explaining why to the administrator who did this,
right,
they should not terminate John. Yes, we've done that. We've had no answer to that.
We're facing a hard break here. Can you both hold on and come back after the break?
Of course.
Yes, certainly.
That'd be great. We're talking with John Klug and Ross Stovall about this unfortunate situation in Indiana. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're going to continue this conversation that we continue to see in our public schools. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Round in third, heading towards home. Hope you're doing well today. Having a conversation here with John Klug and Ross Stovall. John is an orchestra teacher at Brownsburg High School in Central Indiana, and Ross is his attorney in a case here where he is being forced to use transgender pronouns that they're choosing to identify with. Guys, welcome back to the show. Thanks for holding on.
Hello.
Yep. Thanks, John. I'd be curious to know what kind of feedback you've had from others, others that maybe feel similar situations or have a similar worldview, but have maybe just been still about it. Any feedback like that?
I've received actually overwhelmingly positive feedback, both during the school year about, just the relationships I've cultivated with the students, but also after all of this has kind of been exposed about what the administration is doing, a lot of parents and students have reached out to me in the community, in the Brownsburg community, telling me that they're praying for me. Thank you for your stance for the faith. We really appreciate it. We're encouraged by it. But even during the school year, I've received positive feedback from the students. I never told them why I was doing what I was doing in avoiding the first names altogether, but I was able to cultivate, even with these transgender students, friendly, good relationships, and I believe that God's created us in His own image, and that means we're all born with an inherent dignity and worth, and I really aim and strive to reach out to my students and get to know them, show them love and respect. And I think it has worked this past year.
Well, I know there's a lot of listeners to this program that are cheering, bravo for you. This generation is starved for truth and courage. Unfortunately,
to use a word like courage in this situation. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it does take courage, because the pushback from the political correct worldview and community is so strong right now. And I can just tell you that there are people applauding you and wanting to see our schools taken back, just to go to school. Unfortunately, we've lost that narrative where kids can just be kids and go to school to learn basic educational topics but they're having to deal with this social engineering drama so much of their lives. So Ross, you're John's attorney. Where do things stand now? Where are we heading? And will his rights prevail? This is about the Constitution. Go ahead, Ross.
He might have been bumped off the line. But
I'm sorry, I lost connection here.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, Ross.
I heard the question.
You heard it. Go ahead.
I heard it. I apologize. So the point you made is really insightful. I thought, Russ, he is a courageous man, because the school system is such a closed shop that you cannot find out why and how they're doing things. We're trying to figure out what the big burden is to them, why they're doing it. They won't tell us. They won't respond. He's tried five different ways to get answers from them, unsuccessfully so far. We're going to the school board meeting with hopefully 1,000 people to say, hey, tell us why you're doing this and reverse your decisions. What's happened is these people have promulgated rules without parents even knowing about them. In fact, they're even told, this is in writing. What's so beautiful about this case is he's willing to let himself be used to get these documents out in the public. It's in writing, for heaven's sake, that if a student chooses to be transgender and lets a teacher know about it, that's to be immediately reported to the guidance counselor, not the parents, specifically not the parents. Mm-hmm. So we're just using this case as it trots along to blow up this establishment.
We saw the same thing in a story yesterday in Delaware, where they're trying to promote this resolution there that puts the government between the school between the student and the parents, and trying to say no, the parents shouldn't have anything to do with the student's gender and race identification, self-identification, so to speak. So bravo to the both of you. And I can speculate on what the answers are here. It doesn't matter where you're at, John. It matters what's in your brain and the way you're thinking. Because I have seen this so much over the years, is that we've reached a point in our culture in that your thoughts, if it's against this culture and this worldview, the LGBTQ worldview, that you're not okay. You're the one that's wrong, and your rights don't matter. And I am so grateful that there's someone like yourself, and Ross, that there's an attorney like yourself. You're not alone, John, and organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom are here to help push back and guys, I'll give you final thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, my thought is that the Indiana Family Institute also, which is huge in this process, is on the ground every day getting the word out to parents, email blasting, working with your state affiliate. So it takes – it almost takes a village.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And John, final thoughts?
And you're right. Tolerance really goes two ways. You have to be able to respect and work with people of other worldviews in the school system, and this accommodation has really been able to accomplish that, where everybody's beliefs are respected, no one's being pushed in one direction or another, and all of this has really stemmed out of my care for these students and my love and fear of the Lord, that I want to be able to live in a clean conscience before God and care for these students. I really do want them to do well, and I think that this accommodation is one small step towards accomplishing that.
Well, amen, John. And, you know, Scripture talks about making a joyful noise, and I'm just saddened that this is in the way of you helping students make a joyful noise. There's something so amazing about music and choirs and bands and the opportunity to create art like that, and that this would be in the way of that. It's just a tragedy. Please keep us informed here, would you?
I will. Thank you very much.
All right, John Klug, Rostoval, thank you so much for being with us here on Washington Watch, and we'll be watching to see where this is all headed. Well, I want to hear from you, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, this is another, folks, we could do one of these stories every day, sadly. Every day. I wish we could, as the caller said yesterday, you need to be talking about the need for higher teacher salaries or money for books. I wish that was what it amounted to, that we could be here saying, you know what, we've got teachers that are giving everything, and we do. We have teachers in the public schools that are doing so much with so little. But these other stories, these other issues are becoming the normative. In every state across the land. I read about them every day, sites like Campus Reform. There isn't enough pages to report these kinds of stories. And the Family Research Council and Washington Watch is here to lift those stories up. And we also like to share the good news stories. But when you have a teacher like this that's putting his career and his life really on the line, and attorneys that are willing to come stand with you, listen, there may be a day you need that kind of representation. And we need to be grateful for organizations and Christian law firms and legal institutions that will come and stand with people like John. And I remember how much it meant for me to be in band. And the University of Missouri, as I mentioned, I played the tuba in Marching Mizzou. I got to travel all over the country, got to play at the Kansas City Chiefs football games in the Saint back in the day when it was the St. Louis Cardinals games. And I got to go to 3 bowl games, which was an amazing experience. I made lifelong friends. And Alexander Pickard, retired now, band director at the University of Missouri, he changed my life and believed in me and all the other students. And I just have so many fond memories of being in the marching band. And John, well, bravo. Let's go to Monty in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Monty. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon. Welcome for taking me on the show. Got a quick question for the teacher. I work in education here in Oklahoma. And, you know, with the teacher walkout that we had this year, it's kind of made aware that, you know, teacher certifications, there's so many days that they have to work to teach their state certification. I don't know how other states are, but 180 days you have to keep. And it kind of prompted me when they said that the school board was going to force him to terminate a month prior to the end of school. Does that complete his requirement for the school year to keep his state certifications, or was that shortening it so that that would basically kill his state certification?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer.
Right. And then also, my second comment would be, you know, every school board, they have to report to authorities as well, you know, state school board of education superintendent. So it may be a good avenue for the lawyers to reach out to the state board of education superintendent to have them address it. If the school board's not addressing it, then, you know, everybody has a boss.
Yeah, absolutely. I've written down that question, and I'm gonna get back with John and ask him that. That's a good question about the certification, and it would impact other teachers. As well. Well, Monty, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling. Hey, give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. been talking about all kinds of things today. President Trump and his pending meeting with North Korea. And wow, big news with live action pushing back, calling for an investigation against Planned Parenthood, not turning in suspected sexual abuse of minors. And when they see these sexual abuse victims as young as 12, failing to report the abuse to authorities, as is often mandated by law. And then, of course, ongoing challenges in the public schools. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Would love to hear from you. And on a side note, have you ever struggled with ringing in your ears? Maybe I've had earphones in my ears too long for being in radio, some 40 years, but it just will not stop. You know, when you lay down and that ringing, it just never goes away. And when things are quiet, it's just like crickets. Got some essential oils today from my daughter. She mailed them to me, so we're trying that out. Going to see if that helps get rid of, in a natural way, this just awful, awful ringing that has become so distracting in life. I was talking to a friend about it the other day and didn't know how common it was from all the years of just listening to the radio, having loud noises in my ears from headphones and whatnot. So anyway, got any good remedies for that? I am all ears, so to speak, all ears. Well, let's go to the phone lines here. Welcome to Washington Watch. Okay, we got the phones lit up here and running out of time here. Sorry about the folks. Got all kinds of people on the phone lines here, and just got a few minutes to take your calls. Let's go to Dallas. Welcome to Washington Watch. Hello. You need to turn your radio down. Well, we lost that caller, and we're talking about the Indiana teacher claiming that transgender name policy goes against his strongly held religious beliefs. And you know how encouraging it was to talk with John Klug, and knowing that he is battling just this huge battle. And John and teachers out there, let us know the battles that you're going through here at the Family Research Council. Give us a call, shoot us an email, let us know the challenges you face here on the radio program. We would love to talk with you. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Go to tonyperkins.com. Let us know the challenges that you're facing, and we'll look into them. We'll help you get the help that you need, and help you find the resources that you need to face that battle. You're not alone. It's the giant in the room. And you're not alone. You've been listening to Washington Watch. And from Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.